Atlantic for the Slippery Rock Centennial Oral History Project. Sally's been affiliated with Slippery Rock for a number of years. Sally first came here in 1955 as an undergraduate student and completed her degree in 1959. Sally, how did you come to choose Slippery Rock as your school of higher education?
Well, like many students in Western Pennsylvania, my family was not college educated. Resources financially were not great, and so I had my choice only of state colleges. Since I did want to teach, it was logical that I would choose a state college anyway to get a good basic education and to become a public school teacher. I chose Slippery Rock probably because I had had some excellent teachers. Probably the best math teacher I ever had was a Slippery Rock grad, and I thought so much of him.
Could you name that person?
Yes, his name was Jim Weaver, and he was one good algebra teacher for one poor algebra student.
I sort of had that experience, too. I had an excellent algebra teacher named Joe Frazier, who was a Slippery Rock graduate, and he worked hard, but I'm not sure he ever succeeded in making me into an algebra student. What was your major while you were here, Sally?
I was an English major with a social studies minor. A social studies minor was very easy to pick up, which is why it was there. My main interest was in English.
And did you teach English upon graduation?
Well, 1 year I taught. Mm-hmm. And then I was the old-fashioned early 60s mother who had children and stayed home.
And where did you get this husband with whom you had children and stayed home?
Well, nothing would do, of course, but a Slippery Rock graduate. We started to date when we were freshmen here, and then married in 1959.
So you had a commitment throughout your college career then. Don't you feel you may have missed on a lot of other social activities?
Well, you have to understand the 50s were very different than they are now. We had more rules than were necessary, although as we look back, we decided they certainly didn't hurt us. All the women lived in North Hall. It was unheard of. In fact, it was forbidden to live elsewhere. We were in our rooms in the dormitory at 8:30 at night unless we had earned privileges to stay out till 10:30. There was very little social activity simply because there's very little in Slippery Rock and hardly anyone was wealthy enough to own a car. So I don't think I missed a thing. It was a good time with the women in North Hall, the men in South Hall. We had fun. We had good times. But it was, I'm not going to say mindless good time. It was just gentle good times.
Who was the Dean of Women during your stay here?
Dean of Women was Miss Lois Harner. Today's students think of her as a building, and we think of her as a very real person. When I came back to Slippery Rock, when my husband accepted a job here about 15 years ago, she greeted me by name, asked about my roommates, remembered everything about me, and unfortunately she remembers everything bad any of us ever did. But I've always had a feeling that although she told us how serious it was, she didn't pay much attention to it.
She was a remarkable woman.
She still is a remarkable
woman. She was my ninth grade English teacher and also one of my instructors here in college. And it was my good fortune just 2 years ago to get to see her at a high school reunion. And she must be in her 80s, and she is as sharp, and her memory is as clear as you describe it 15 years ago.
She was back for alumni weekend just 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. Looking great.
A lot of fond memories, and as you say, she's much more than a building, that's for certain. Well, you mentioned your husband. Could you name him?
Oh, I think I could name him. Slippery Rock had a very tough problem through the years. We've never had enough men to go around. In the 50s and the 60s, it wasn't quite as serious as it was during the war years, when one of the Saxagenas shows three senior men, 10 men on campus. But there were never very many men on campus. When I was here, there were 5 women to a man. So you had to choose your man early and work hard at getting them.
And I'm assuming that that's what you did.
I certainly did.
And what was Bill's major?
Bill was a physical education major. At the time, over half of our students were physical education majors, especially the men.
And I assume as a physical education major, he was involved in athletics. What were his activities?
He was a track person, and he played a little bit of soccer, but mostly he was a track person. Bill Mizey was his coach. Jim Egley was his coach for many years. Campbell Snowberger was his coach. A lot of the names that everybody remembers from Slippery Rock. Mm-hmm.
And after your and Bill's graduation, where did you go? Where were your first jobs?
My first job was at a school that is no more, through no fault of mine, at Darlington. Mm-hmm. Darlington, Pennsylvania, lost their high school when they joined in to a jointure
It's in Northern Beaver County, isn't it?
It's Blackhawk School District now, yes. And Bill went to Riverside, which was a brand new school opening up. After that, as I said before, I left. We have two children. He continued to teach at Riverside for a long time, then went to Butler and came on to Slippery Rock as track coach.
Mm-hmm. And what year did you return to Slippery Rock?
For some reason, I always draw a blank with that. He has been on the faculty here for over 15 years, but we didn't move for a few years.
And did you continue during his early years being the wife and mother rather than being professionally employed anywhere?
That's an old idea, but it's a good one.
Do you sometimes wish for it again?
Well, I don't have any kids left, so I don't know what I'd do if I were home now. My kids are in Florida.
Well, the Lennoxes are very much involved, and with Slippery Rock, both mother and father. What about children?
Well, my son's a Slippery Rock graduate. He graduated in 1983. My daughter has taken a few courses here, but she has transferred to Florida International.
Mm-hmm. And what is Bill Jr. going now, since I have had him in class and know him? What is he doing now?
Well, I always say he's getting a tan. beginning with when he was 4 years old, his first Richard Halliburton book, he has been interested in history. Right after graduation, I okayed that he would go on a round-the-world trip with his aunt, who was not healthy. They parted company, and he continued on his way. And for 6 months, he traveled around the world by himself, and he will never recover. He is planning right now to head out again in August and go around the world again, this time to hit those places that he says he missed. He might go back into to see the pyramids again. He's always been fascinated by the pyramids, and after he took Claire Settlemyer's class, he was really fascinated by the pyramids. He will spend a month in Africa and go on to India. Scares me to death.
I'm sure. But
he's had so many people. He's had good history teachers through the year.
Sounds like he's an experienced traveler,
yes.
Though. So.
But with a good history teacher, you know, they put these places in front of you, and you think, I have to see this. I have to experience, and that's what he's going to do.
Curiosity is the basis of education and knowledge. Mm-hmm. Without curiosity, not much happens. So I can appreciate Billy's viewpoint very much. Of course, today you are Alumni Director. Is that the proper title?
Director of Alumni Affairs.
Director of Alumni Affairs. When did you become involved with the Alumni Association and eventually evolve into this head position?
Mostly by default, I became. Fred Williams, who was the director, had received my name from someone and called and asked if I knew how to do books. Well, I didn't know a debit from a credit. And I said, sure, I know how to do that. And I experimented and faked and figured it out and talked to people and took the job as the bookkeeper. Then when Fred left, we were left without a director. I had started to help him. I had done some of the job, and I more or less just fell into it. What I lacked in experience and specific knowledge, I think I made up with enthusiasm and a great love for Slippery Rock.
And how many years have you been in this position?
Almost five.
Almost 5 years. And prior to the 5 years as the head, as the director of Alumni Association, how long were you working with the association?
Just about a year.
Just about a year. Well, I'd say that's pretty rapid advancement. After a year, you become director. That's pretty good.
That was being in the right place at the right time.
That happens to a lot of us. But we should, you know, rather than degrading ourselves, we ought to take credit for ability instead of making these excuses. How many alumni are there, Slippery Rug University, living alumni that we're that you know of and have records of?
Well, we have 28,000 living alums. We are in contact with about 26,000. We're in contact with them. I tell them, if you don't hear from us every 4 months, we have lost you. Then it's your responsibility to let us know. We're a very small percentage do let us know that way. They just figure we'll find them, and usually we do.
That was my next question. How committed are they to following these instructions of keeping you informed?
Our new alums are very good. Our 80s people have been excellent. I think it's because before they leave, I beg and bribe my way into as many classes as I can get into and tell them what I think their responsibilities are. Or if it's not a definite responsibility, at least I point out to them they're a member of a group and you don't just push that off and say, well, I'm out of here with my diploma. I tell them what the alumni is about, what the alumni do, how important it is to have a strong alumni, how their degree is only as good as the next degree that walks out of here. You know, we're all responsible for each other, or we're all going to be looked at as, it's not fair, but that's simply the way it is. So it's up to them to keep good students coming, give Slippery Rock a little bit of good press. Of course, then I say, pay your dues. Yeah, you have to put that in. And but they are better than our 50s and 60s people. They are not good alums. Our 30s people are wonderful. They come from California to spend the weekend with us, alumni weekend. Some couples drive from Florida every year for alumni weekend. And our 50s and 60s people, we just can't get moving.
Let me ask you this, since I'm a 50s person, as are you. Might it be, as you say, the 30s are good and the 20s are good, because they're now 50 and 60 years removed from the institution, and their feelings of loyalty and their feelings of nostalgia are stronger. Might that occur with the 50s and 60s people in the 90s? Or the 2000s, as they get further removed, might they take a, let's say, look more fondly on their educational past?
I hope so. But I think one of the problems was, when I was in school here, I really loved Slippery Rock. Almost never went home for vacation. We just didn't. We came, we stayed till Thanksgiving, we stayed till Christmas. We liked the place. We were having a good time here. It was home. Of course, Saturday morning classes had something to do with that. If you were in class till 1 o'clock Saturday, you didn't go too far. But our 70s and 80s people sort of disprove that theory. I am thinking it's because no one told them. No one said, this is an alumni association. This is what we do. This is how we'll keep you informed. This is what we expect back from you. We expect you to pay your dues. We expect you to let us know when you move. And we want to hear from you. It was too impersonal, which is no one's fault. The college simply didn't have an employee. They had volunteers. They had the infamous Murray McKay. They had Maggie Mizey. They had Carl Lochner. But they didn't give it an importance as it had at a small liberal arts college. I think that was the difference. And once people get out of the habit of giving or caring or returning, it's hard to get them in. And that's why we really push homecoming. And if you've been at homecoming lately, you know how many thousands of young people are back. We want them back.
I wondered, and certainly I don't know. I'm just throwing this out as a possibility. I wondered if there might be some relationship between the old days when we all got out and became teachers at very modest salaries, and now in this current multi-purpose institution in which we're sending people out into all sorts of fields, many of them much better paying than education, are they more able, more affluent, more able to take an active role in things and pay their dues, et cetera, than perhaps the people were from an earlier era? Just a question.
I don't think so. When dues were $5, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, there probably wasn't someone who couldn't afford 50 cents a month. It was a matter of saying, or maybe not even consciously saying, just simply not doing it. Now I tell them, you know, what can you get for $15? You can get a half a pizza. If you get something to drink, you can go to Rachel's by yourself, or you can pay me $15, which is, yeah. I think we use that not as a reason, Don, but as an excuse. You and I know that teachers just about everywhere are making a very nice living. And it's very hard for me not to answer when someone from North Allegheny or someone from the Pittsburgh School District says, how can you expect us to donate? We're only teachers. I know what they're making, and you know what they're making. I think we've hidden behind that, and I don't think it's valid.
I think that's a very pertinent observation on your part. I have heard the excuse. That's the reason I posed the question, as I did.
Oh, sure. You'll hear the excuse. We hear it by the hundreds at the phone-a-thon.
I'm sure. What are, other than just dues, annual dues, what are other fundraising activities of the Alumni Association?
Well, starting about 5 years ago, when the foundation was formed to become stronger, I don't have other fundraising. Nothing else comes out of this office. There were two funds that belong to the alumni traditionally, and that's the N. Kerr Thompson Fund, donated to by what Mrs. Thompson calls the young lads. The young lads graduated in 1939, however. They still donate to Coach's Fund. They feel great loyalty to him. A lot of people still donate, nothing big, and we don't even send a regular solicitation, to the Marie McKay Fund, because Marie is responsible for a lot of people's finishing, graduating, getting a job, sticking it out. She was a one-person dynamo. She ran the place.
Do you mean haranguing them into graduation?
Yes. I know one man who was ready to graduate, had to take one summer school course, needed one credit. So he looked down the list and thought, Campcraft sounds like a good course to me. She changed it. Now, can you imagine doing that to a today student? She changed it to world geography. He went to her and he said, I don't want to take that. And she said, young man, if you want to graduate, you'll take it. And by golly, he did. A lot of people have a great loyalty to her.
Well, I know that being involved with this institution in some level or other, from the period of the World War II vets through the Korean vets, there was no combat veteran that she couldn't terrorize.
Now, she was one powerful woman here, but we have a scholarship in her name. It's something the Alumni Association is very proud of. For a long time, it was the only academic scholarship on campus, and we do award, well, this year, 11 $500 scholarships towards senior tuition.
And I believe she was a Slip Rock alumni also.
No,
wasn't she?
She
wasn't.
She came here as a registrar, and she, I runs in my mind, she was Bethany. Small private, but she loved Slippery Rock.
There's no question about that.
And she especially loved the Slippery Rock students. And all her, once she started here, she was an active member of the Alumni Association, the volunteer secretary, held lots of jobs here, but most of all the registrar.
And a person whose bark was considerably worse than her bite.
Yes.
Although most people, the bark was sufficient to bring most people into line. Any future plans or alterations to the activities of the Alumni Association?
Well, a criticism of the Alumni Association has been that we don't have enough programming. But we are, of course, everybody's limited by money, so that's not a reason. But so many functions are taken over by other departments of the college that some schools use as alumni. For instance, there's no reason or no way we could have a vacation college for just alumni. We have a vacation college. Our travel program is limited because we have a good travel program here at Slippery Rock. So probably our thrust is to keep alumni all over the country informed. This becomes a bigger and bigger job because alumni used to live in Western Pennsylvania. You graduated from here, you went back to your hometown, and you stayed in the general area. You could read about things in the paper. You could visit Sepiroc. Now we have people who never come back. We try to visit them to let them know what's going on. The president takes a trip every year, a couple of trips every year, to keep them informed, keep them interested, to show them how we're growing academically. We send them a newspaper four times. We send them additional information whenever the budget allows. We're trying to keep them as a member of the community because we think it's important. As I told you before, we think it's important so when they do something, it shows in their resume that they started at Sepiroc. This is where they got their roots. Most of ours, of course, are bachelor's degrees people. This is where they got their roots. This is where they learned what kind of people they're going to be. And we like to see it in the press release. A lot of them are still in education. They're the superintendents of schools, the guidance counselors. We think that our educational programs are strong enough so that they should be sending us their good students, not the student who didn't get in somewhere else, which in the early 70s was too often the case. We would like to see and hear good press. Not just what a good time they had here, but how they learned something of value. Sometimes it makes us very angry when we hear somebody in a good job who almost lets it be known that they got the job in spite of, not because of, their good Sepiroc education. This is a tough one.
I've had any number of people tell me, though, that even in areas where perhaps the Sepiroc reputation is not well established, seeing that name on credentials often will get you at least to the interview stage. Have you heard that?
Yes, the name works for us and against us.
Yeah.
The magic of the name is what a funny place. And just laugh at the name. It does get your foot in the door. We hope it gets a loyalty. We know it did for two young people, Billy Bajorstad, who's an elementary teacher, and his wife, got jobs in San Diego because the superintendent of schools was a Sepiroc person. He made no bones about it. He said, I saw Sepiroc and I thought, this can't be all bad. And they got the jobs they went after.
Do you know the name of the superintendent?
No, I don't. But the problem with it is some people discount us and it becomes just a joke, just a football score at Michigan Stadium. So it does work two ways. But you can sell your Sepiroc shirt anywhere in the world.
And I think
make
we're
a profit.
Yeah, I think we're in transition. I think we're leaning more to the academic reputation than just the funny name than we used to. I really think we're moving that way.
I think all of us are working towards that.
Well, I hear it from alumni
that
they are being respected.
You can't discount our alumni. We have people all over in very, very responsible positions. We have college presidents, people who are running big companies. The president of Thrift Rug is a Sepiroc graduate, a physical education major. Lots of medical doctors. Such a wealth, such a cross stream, and people who are making it. And they can't discount us any longer, saying, oh, they're just a teacher, which always angered me anyway, because just a teacher is responsible for everybody.
Indeed. You mentioned that we now have, what's the proper name? Branch associations? Would that be?
We call them chapters.
Chapters throughout the country. Mm-hmm. What are some of the, I wouldn't expect you to name them all, but what are some of the major chapters we have scattered across the United States?
The further away you are from home, the more home looks good to you. We have five groups we meet with in Florida. One of them is 13 years old. We have a group for everybody. We have older people, we have a mixed group, and we have very young people who are settling around Boca Raton. So we have five there, and we met four groups in California for the first time ever this past year. We met a group in San Diego, one man from the class of, I think he's 31 came in, and he was so surprised. He said, I just knew I'd be the only one here, and I just knew I'd be the oldest one here. And he was neither the oldest, nor was he the only one. And he was just as happy as he can be. His name's Ed Paca, And he was back for alumni weekend about 2 or 3 years ago, playing tennis against our varsity tennis players.
Great.
So we do go into Virginia, mm-hmm. where we have a strong concentration in Norfolk and Virginia Beach in education. Very young population there.
Over the past 25 years or so that I have been here, and this is certainly not a scientific survey, but I do meet a number of youngsters from Long Island, and any number of times I've said, how did you choose Slippery Rock? And the answer is, well, I had a teacher from Slippery Rock. I'm wondering, there is no chapter, however, in Long Island. Might that be a possibility, as I say, because I seem to have heard that a lot, that I was attracted to Slippery Rock because my high school teacher was a Slippery Rock graduate.
We've never gone into New York, but this year we have two girls working on a meeting, and they would like to have it a little bit after homecoming so we could take a video for them to see what they're missing, from northern New Jersey, which is right across the river. So we hope to pick up some of those people with that one.
Well, I think we've had a good interview, and I think you've been very, very informative. And perhaps when these tapes are reviewed, why, the things that you've told me will spark greater alumni involvement in the future. Those few people from our own era of the 50s and 60s that have been perhaps a little remiss in their loyalty, maybe we can get some activity on. Thank you very much, Sally.
Oh, you're welcome.